All right, man, let's dig in. Let's dig into this story that we're going to read in the Bible, which is going to be called today, The Rebellion of Korah. If you're familiar with the Rebellion of Korah, raise your hand. Really, that's all? I thought it was a staple of the Bible. Man, I learned that when I was like 3. No, I'm just kidding. The Rebellion of Korah. Does anybody remember what I told you over the past 5 weeks before we started even talking about Numbers? What did I tell you? Paul mentions it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul states specifically that these things were written down as examples and warnings for you and me. You understand what I'm saying? So here's what I want you to know. We're going to read through this chapter, man. We're going to break it down. And here's what I want you to know. There is a place in here for everyone. There is a place in here for everyone. There's a place in here for everyone to hear from God. Regardless of where you are spiritually, and be honest with you, regardless of if you're saved or if you're not saved or if you're brand new baptized. Just look and listen. Put your eyes to see and your ears to hear. And here's what I promise you. God will speak directly to your soul. Amen. Maybe it's to reveal something about Him. A nature, a character, a principle. But it very well could be to reveal to you something about you. Maybe He likes it, and maybe He don't. But here's what I promise you. It is this Word that transforms. Amen. Right? It is this Word that transforms. But we have to be prepared to receive it in the way that God wants us to receive it. Amen? All right, so here in Numbers chapter 16, we have a group of Levites led by a man named Korah, and we're going to see some other leaders, non-Levites. We'll know them to be Reubenites when we begin to read here. And what they're going to do is they're going to come against Moses. This is nothing new, right? We've seen them come against Moses before. But I think this one might be a little more difficult for Moses, and here's why. Because they are actually going to challenge Moses' authority, and they are also going to challenge Aaron and his right for the priesthood to come through his lineage. You follow me? So this is going to be a little more difficult because it's a direct attack on Moses and Aaron himself. You know, I got curious here in chapter 16, so I thought I'd flip back. And I'll try to find somewhere, anywhere, where this assembly, this congregation, said anything good about Moses. Do you know what happened? I didn't find any. I didn't find anything. Nowhere where they said, hey, good job, Moses. Not when the sea parted, when he gave them water from a rock, manna fell from heaven, or quail came from the east. None. No. These guys are grade A, or grade triple A, whiners, complainers, grumblers. Amen? We've seen that up to this point as well, right? But I did find this. They come out of Egypt, and they first get to Mount Sinai, right, where we know that they spent a year at Mount Sinai. So the first time Moses goes up there in Exodus 19 and he hears from God and he goes back and he talks to the people and he tells the people, I want to show you this because it's funny. This is what the people said. The people responded together, we will do everything the Lord has said. Well, up to this point in Numbers, they ain't done nothing that the Lord has said. Right? So Moses brought the answer back to the Lord, all the way back into Exodus 19 when they first came to Mount Sinai. So let's start reading this chapter. We're going to read through the whole chapter. Amen? And we'll just kind of look at it and break it down a little bit as we go. But this is really, even for biblically challenged people, this is a really simple, self-explanatory story the way that it is broken down here. All right, so let's look at verses 1 through 3. Korah, son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and certain Reubenites. All right, Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, and On, son of Peleth, became insolent. You know what insolent means? Man, to look at the Lord in the wrong way, to see Him as unworthy, right? To not take the Lord's words the way that you should, right? Okay. And rose up against Moses. With them were 250 Israelite men, well-known community leaders who had been appointed members of the council. So these were leaders, my friends. Leaders who had been appointed in the council. They came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You have gone too far." I want you to remember that. And I want you to remember that because that's going to be said again. All right? The whole community is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourself above this assembly? Listen to me, because we read that Moses, there was some special characteristic about Moses. He was the most humble person on the face of the earth. Moses didn't set himself above anybody. He was a man of faithfulness, a man of honor, and a man of integrity. And when it says the most humble man on the face of the earth, that's really saying something. I want to share with you, it'll give you an insight into what's going on here, why the jealousy, why the insolence, why the pride, why the arrogance and all that. I want to go back to Numbers chapter 4. And early on in this book, everybody got a job. All right, every tribe and then all the clans of those tribes, everybody was given a responsibility. You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to put this up, you got to carry this, you got to do this, you got to get the hunting, you got whatever, right? And I want to show you what Korah's clan was relegated to, because it's going to give you an understanding of why, what's going on here, all right? Verse 4:15. After Aaron and his sons had finished covering, by the way, this is what God is telling Moses to tell the people. All right, yes, don't miss that. This is God telling Moses to tell the people to do this. All right, after Aaron and his sons had finished covering the holy furnishings and all the holy articles, and when the camp is ready to move, only then are the Kohathites to come and do the carrying. But they must not touch the holy things or they will die. Amen? The Kohathites are to carry those things that are in the tent of meeting. So, God told Moses to say, hey, this is what the Kohathites are going to do. After you get everything ready, the holiest of holies, you get everything packed up, you get everything covered up, you're going to come, the Kohathites are going to come and what? Carry it. All right? They couldn't touch the holy things, all right, but or they would die. One more part in verse 17 and 20 of the same chapter. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "See that the Kohathites, tribal clans, are not destroyed from among the Levites, so that they may live and not die when they come near the most holy things. Do this for them. Aaron and his sons are to go into the sanctuary and to sign each man his work and what he is to carry." You follow me? So these Kohathites would come in, and then Aaron would be in there, and Aaron would say, "You carry that, you carry that, and you carry that." All right? "But the Kohathites must not go in to look at the holy things even for a moment, or they would die." So these Kohathites, not only could they not touch the holy things, but they couldn't even put... I want you to know something. That would be difficult. You can't even put your eyes on them. You'd have to wait for everything to be covered and put in its place by the priests, which would be Aaron and his priesthood, right? And then you would just come in, and all you got to do was carry it, right? One more thing, Korah, the instigator here. the one who's instigating this rebellion against Moses and Aaron. He was the grandson of Kohath. We read that. But here's what I want you to know. Kohath was also Moses' grandfather, because Korah and Moses' fathers were brothers. So what would that make them? First cousins. So it kind of puts things in a better perspective, right? These Kohathites, Korahites, whatever you want to call them, man, they thought, we're Moses, man. We're first cousins. Why are you giving me a job that I can't even touch the holy things, or I can't even put my eyes on the holy things, or I'm going to die? Thought we were, you know, we were better than that. Right? Thought we were better than that. Right, Joe? But that'll give you a little idea of what really roused this, right? They felt, you know, despised in some way because they were it would be an honor. Wouldn't it be an honor to carry the things of God? But they didn't see it that way at all, clearly. All right, let's read verses 4 through 11. I want to point a couple things out here to you. When Moses heard this, they come against Moses. They're coming against Aaron. They're challenging his authority, right? And what does Moses do? When Moses heard this, he what? Oh, do you spend enough time in this position? We're going to see that three times in this chapter. We're going to see that three times in this chapter. I want you to know, what do you think is going on when Moses falls face down? One of two things. He's either asking the Lord for an answer, or he's talking to the Lord, interceding for somebody else. You get that, right? So it says that he fell face down. Then he said to Korah, wait a minute, so he fell face down. He got an answer from God. Come on. Listen to me, man. When things get difficult, when you face persecution or struggles, the first thing you need to do, and whatever it works for you, is to get with God. Whether that's falling face down or not, get on your knees. Open up to communications. That is the first thing you want to get your head right. You want to get your heart right. All right, and then he said to Korah and his followers, in the morning the Lord will show you who belongs to him and who is holy, and he will have that person come near to him. The man he chooses, he will cause to come near him. You, Korah, and all your followers are to do this. All right, listen to this. Take censers, and tomorrow put burning coals and incense in them before the Lord. The man the Lord chooses will be the one who is holy. You Levites have gone too far. Here's what's clear. Somebody's wrong. Somebody went too far. You know what's cool? We're going to find out. We get the answer. We don't get Moses' answer, Aaron's answer, or Korah's answer. We get God's answer. That's the only one that matters, is God's answer, right? Moses also said to Korah, now listen, you Levites, isn't it enough for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the Israelite community and brought you near himself to do the work at the Lord's tabernacle and to stand before the community and minister to them? Man, what a blessing that would be, right? Isn't that enough for you, you Levites? In this next part, we're going to really get to the core of the matter, the core of the problem right here. He has brought you and all your fellow Israelites near himself, but now you are trying to get the priesthood too. Oh, now it's clear. You jealous, arrogant, prideful, self-seeking Korahite. Right? He wasn't happy with what God gave him. He wanted what God gave someone else. Come on. The jealousy is just driving him, man. Driving him. Is it not? That's what's driving him, this jealousy. Because clearly now, it has been revealed to us, their clear motive is they want the priesthood. Because listen, they were Levites, but the priesthood, those who would be the priests and the high priests, could only come from the family of Aaron and Aaron's descendants, not Korah's descendants. Korah's descendants, well, they would be carriers. Come on. All right. It is against the Lord, listen to this, it is against the Lord that you and all your followers have banded together. They're not coming against Moses. They're not coming against Aaron. They are coming against the Lord. You got to be careful. You better be aware, man, because it can be dangerous. I just want you to know. And then he says, who is Aaron that you should grumble against him? Listen, we've seen Aaron. Aaron is, well, he's not all that good. That's the dude that made the golden calf, right? He's the one that made the golden calf. He's the one that seems to be able to be manipulated pretty easy. And here's what Moses says. Who is Aaron? In other words, hey, Aaron didn't choose his position. God chose him for that position. Come on, amen? All right. Now, why did God use the censers? Because he used these censers for a very, very good reason. So a censer was a metal pot, right? And it was used to burn incense unto the Lord, but it was for only the priests of God. All right? And we'll see more about that towards the end of this story. But since Korah is questioning Aaron's right to the priesthood, God is making them go and get something that only a priest would have, and he's making them and really putting them in the position of being a priest. Amen? And this will make more sense as we go on. But humanly speaking here, the odds are not good, right? Because you got Moses and Aaron against everybody else. But listen, that don't matter with God. You hear me? That don't matter with God. Listen, it is God who is going to make the decision here. And you know what? Moses knew that. You know how he knew that? Well, God told him while he was on his face before him. Come on. And listen, here's what I want you to see for the rest of this. It's 2 against 2 million. Am I right? Probably Joshua and Caleb are not involved in this. So maybe 4 against 2 million. But God is going to make the decision. And here's what I want you to see, man. He does not make it based on popular opinion. He does not make it based on political correctness. Come on. He don't care how many people's against him. The truth is the truth. Right is right, and everything else is wrong. Boom. Praise God, man. Listen, don't be pressured into making decisions based on popular opinion. God's not in the practice of that, and he don't want us in the practice of that. You know what? Let the truth stand on its own, because it can, and it will. Amen? All right, let's read on, verses 12 through 15. Is that as far as we've gotten? All right. Then Moses summoned Dathan and Abiram. Don't name your kids that. The sons of Eliab. But they said, we will not come. Oh, man, remember last week? The defiant people? One thing I don't want to be towards God is defiant. Now, clearly, they don't understand that it's not really Moses summoning them, that it is God who is summoning them. All right? All right. Isn't it enough that you have brought us up, listen, out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? These guys are seriously referring to Egypt as a land flowing with milk and honey where they were slaves and they were beaten and they were made to make bricks without straw? Yeah, that's what they're talking about. And now you want to lord it over us? Moreover, you haven't brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey or given us an inheritance of the fields and vineyards. Do you want to treat these men like slaves? So not only that, they are blaming Moses and Aaron because they didn't have the faith to go into the promised land. They made the choice. They're the ones that had that grasshopper mentality, remember? Man, we are like grasshoppers in their eyes. And we look, in their eyes, we are grasshoppers to them. And here they are, blaming Moses, blaming Aaron instead of taking responsibility for their own actions and their own decisions. Because the truth is, they could have been in the promised land. They could have been in the land flowing with milk and honey. But they chose not to. They chose not to. Amen? All right. Where are we at? Oh, okay. Though we will not come. Moreover, you have... Oh, okay, I read it. Do you want to treat me... All right. No, we will not come. Yeah, there twice, right? Defiant twice. No, we will not come. Then Moses became very angry. I've seen Moses angry before, but I haven't seen him very angry. Then Moses became very angry and said to the Lord, "Do not accept their offering. I have not taken so much as a donkey from them, nor have I wronged any of them." Amen? So Moses is angry, not just angry. He's very angry. Remember the last time he got angry, he said, "Lord, just kill me if I got to put up with these people." That's what he said. But here now, he is very angry. And notice he says, "Don't take their offering. I have not taken nothing from them." Right? So he's stepping out on his integrity and his honesty here, right? And but here's what I want you to see. People look at that and say, "Man, Moses shouldn't became angry there." And some people actually that I read, you know, I was reading things about this, they got kind of get offended that Moses became very angry with Dathan and Abiram in the context of what's going on here. And they feel like he should have probably came to them more lovingly, right? I understand that perspective, but it's wrong. And here's why. These were not sheep that needed to be corrected or held or, right? These were wicked wolves who were seeking to destroy the fellowship and the assembly. And that's why. And Moses knew that. He knew what this meant, man, as they come and they challenged his authority and challenged the priesthood authority. Amen? But so really they were who? Challenging who? They were challenging God. And he knew this was not going to be good. Right? And that's why he is very, very angry here. All right? Let's go on. Verses 16 through 24. Moses said to Korah, "You and all your followers are to appear before the Lord tomorrow. You and they and Aaron. Each man is to take his censer and put incense in it, 250 censers in all, and present it before the Lord. You and Aaron are to present your censers also." So each of them took his censer. Man, that's a lot of censer. "And put burning coals and incense in it, and stood with Moses and Aaron at the entrance to the tent of meeting." It's just a tent that they made, right? And here they are. They're standing at the entrance to the tent of meeting, the tabernacle. What's in there? That's the holy place. That's the holiest of holies. That's where the Ark of the Covenant is, behind that curtain that they have put up. All right? That's what he's talking about when he says the temple and the tent of meeting. "When Korah had gathered all his followers in opposition to them at the entrance to the tent of meeting, the glory of the Lord appeared to the whole assembly." Listen, when the glory of the Lord shows up, someone's either going to be blessed or someone's going to die. Amen? Woo! "Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Separate yourselves from this assembly so I can put an end to them at once.'" So, hey, look, God wants to kill them all. This ain't the first time we've seen that, is it? Right? So what does Moses do? But Moses and Aaron fell face down. Now, last time we've seen him fall face down, he heard from God because that's when he told him what to do. But here, when he falls face down, he is speaking to God, and we are told what he says. And he cried out, "Oh God, the God who gives breath to all living things, will you be angry with the entire assembly because when only one man sins?" Fair question. Don't miss this point. If you were here for Isaiah, Isaiah said, God who gives breath to all, and here Moses is saying that as well, many years before. Come on. But listen, God gives you the breath that you just took. And he's going to give you the next breath you just took. Make no mistake, who is responsible or who has the authority for every breath you take? It is God. And without him saying, okay, you have no more breath. And last I checked, you really needed that. Right? You don't believe me, just go underwater. The Lord said to Moses, say to the assembly, move away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Praise the Lord. God heard Moses, didn't he? Because God wanted to take them all out. God says, don't hold it all against them all just for the sins of one man. And then God says, all right, tell the people, get away from the tents of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. Right? That's good advice. Let's see what happens. Verse 25. Moses got up and went to Dathan and Abiram. Why did he have to get up and go to them? Because they were defiant and arrogant and prideful, and they wouldn't even come to him. Right? And the elders of Israel followed him. He warned the assembly. See, I got a mind's eye, so I can picture Moses. Get back! Get back, everybody! Get back from the tent! Right? I can see Moses. He's kind of excited because God just answered a prayer. God wanted to destroy everybody, and now God says, all right, just get away from the tents. So he's kind of excited, and he wants to get everybody back and away from those tents. You follow me? He warned the assembly, move back from the tents of what? We don't have to wonder what kind of men these were. And we don't have to wonder why Moses got very angry with them. Because their actions could really damage the assembly as a whole. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, my friends. Amen? Do not touch anything belonging to them, or you will be swept away because of all their sins. So they moved away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Dathan and Abiram had come out and were standing with their wives, children, and little ones at the entrance to their tent. Oh, so you want to come out and see what's going on now, huh? Well, just hang out here a minute, right? Then Moses said, this is how you will know that the Lord has sent me to do all these things and that it was not my idea. Moses is saying, this is how you'll know, hey, I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy who is called by God, who God speaks to. Amen? If these men die a natural death and suffer the fate of all mankind, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord brings about something totally new and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them with everything that belongs to them and they go down alive into the realm of the dead, then you will know that these men have treated the Lord with contempt. Let me ask you, how did it going to work out? Never treat the Lord with contempt. Never in any way, through your actions or through your words, in some way desecrate His holiness, His righteousness, or His worthiness, because that's when you hold the Lord in contempt. I don't ever want that word to be used in the same sentence about me and my relationship with God. Amen? Listen, as soon as he finished, no sooner than he has said that last word, right? Contempt. What happens? As soon as he finished saying all this, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and their households and all those associated with Korah together with their possessions. They went down alive into the realm of the dead with everything they owned, and the earth closed over them, and they perished and were gone from the community. Hallelujah! Amen? I want you guys to think about something. Where do you think they went? Because at this point, if you died, you went to either Abraham's bosom or Hades. It's pretty clear where they went, man. And listen, these guys, they're still there right now. They're still in Hades right now. Woo! Went down to the realm of the dead. All right, let me point something else out to you here. Some people say, well, you know, it could have been a natural thing. The earth just opened up. Listen, not only did the earth open up and take only certain people, but it also closed up like nothing ever happened. Try that. Amen? Only God can do that. Only God can do that. All right. And then the next verse 34. And at their cries, all the Israelites around them fled. Good idea. Right? Wouldn't you though? Fled, shouting, "The earth is going to swallow us too." And fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that were offering the incense. Picture that, man. All right. I'm a picture guy. All right, so here they are. The earth opens up, swallows these people by name. Come on. And closes back up. People start running and shouting, "The earth's going to swallow us too." And about that time, fire comes down and burns these other 250 into a charcoal. I mean, that's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful because these people posed a huge danger to the rest of the people. You get that, right? All right, let's read verse 36 through 40. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, to remove the censers from the charred remains and scatter the coals some distance away, for the censers are holy. The censers of the men who sinned at the cost of their lives." So were they charred? They were charquettes. Yeah. Then he said this, "Hammer the censers into sheets and overlay the altar, for they were presented before the Lord and have become holy. Let this be a sign to the Israelites." So Eleazar the priest collected the bronze censers brought by those who had been burned to death, and he had them hammered to overlay the altar, as the Lord had directed through Moses. This was to remind the Israelites, listen, that no one except a descendant of Aaron or a priest, come on, should come to burn incense before the Lord. You see, that was part of the law in Leviticus that God laid down at Mount Sinai, that only a priest could come and burn incense before the Lord had they just listened. Amen? All right, this was to remind the Israelites that no one except a descendant of Aaron should come to burn incense before the Lord, or he would become like Korah and his followers. Amen? All right, so, man, is this not a graphic picture of people, the earth opening up and swallowing up these wicked people, right? And then fire coming down and charring the... I mean, have you guys ever seen bodies that have been burned? It is not a pretty sight. So there was at least 250 of these bodies just charred, laying there, charred by the Lord. Now, here's the deal. You would think that anybody, all these other assembly people, everybody else that was watching, they'd get in line. Come on. Right? You would think, "Oh, man, we are not going to question your authority anymore, Moses. We are not going to question the priesthood of Aaron anymore, man. We have learned our lesson." And look. Verse 41, the very next day. The next day, the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Come on, man. Is there really people that stupid? This is 2024. Look around you, man, and you will see the same people. Maybe, you know, a few generations down the road, but the same people, right? "You have killed the Lord's people," they said. Now listen, here's what I want you to see. they still didn't understand they weren't dealing with Moses. They were dealing with God. Because here they say, you, Moses, have killed God's people. No, Moses didn't do it. You did it. You caused it because of your wickedness. But it is God who carried it out, not Moses. But when the assembly gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron and turned toward the tent of meeting, suddenly the cloud covered it. Oh, here we go again. Right? I'm telling you, when God shows up, somebody's going to die or somebody's going to be blessed. One or the other. I wonder which one it is this time. Cloud covered it and glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron went to the front of the tent of meeting, and the Lord said to Moses, get away from this assembly so I can put an end to them at once. What's God want to do right here again? He wants to take them all out. He's done with them, man. He's done with them. Come on. These guys just don't get it. But what does Moses do? Man, you guys, if you don't remember anything else from number 16, remember how Moses dealt with a very difficult situation. Three times we've seen him face down before the Lord, and every time he got what he wanted. Amen? He got what he wanted. And they fell face down. Then Moses said to Aaron, all right, listen, again, it doesn't tell us what God told him, but it does by what he tells Aaron. You get it, right? He fell face down, and he heard a word from God. Come on. You ever got before the Lord in prayer and not heard a word? Now, here's the deal. You have not heard the word you wanted to hear. Come on. But if you as a child of God and you're seeking with truthful desire a word from the Lord, hear me, He will answer you. Not according to popular opinion, not according to your own desires, but He will answer His child. Yes. All right, where am I at, man? 46, thank you. I see 47. Okay, then Moses said to Aaron, take your censer and put incense in it. Well, that's fair because he's the priest. Now he can do that, right? All right. And make it along with burning coals from the altar and hurry to the assembly to make atonement for them. So now God is going to show them how the priesthood is supposed to work. Wrath has come out from the Lord and the plague has started. So Aaron did as Moses said and ran into the midst of the assembly. The plague had already started among the people, but Aaron offered the incense and made atonement for them. Listen, there's a plague going on. Listen, people are dropping dead left and right. And here is Aaron, the high priest, with his censer, running in to the assembly between the people. Listen to what it says. He stood between the living and the dead. So, with that censer in his hand, there was those who have already died, but there were those that were still living. Amen? But, and the plague stopped, but 14,700 people died from that plague. Boy, man, you talk about dropping like flies, right? In addition to those who had died because of Korah. So that's not counting all the ones who died because of Korah, okay? Then Aaron returned to Moses at the entrance to the tent of meeting, for the plague had stopped. Exciting. I mean, that's exciting stuff, right? Something I learned from this last part, that there is no end, I want you to hear me, there is no end to men's accusations and criticisms of other people. You understand what I'm saying? Man's eyes can be so blinded and his ears can be so deaf that all he can see is what he himself desires. And that is what we got a picture of here. Because there is no good answer to why what happened to Korah and Dathan and Abiram shouldn't have in some way turned these assemblies' heart back to God. But it didn't. And listen to me, man, in all honesty, you and I, we need to expect opposition. Because I'm here to tell you, it's coming. That's the way it is. It should already be in your life. Right? Because he who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted. So to a certain degree, everyone who's living a godly life is being persecuted. Amen? But stay focused on what God has called you to do. Here Moses is standing against everybody. Yes, all of them. Sticking to the truth. Sticking to what God has called him to do. And listen, you might be as innocent as Moses or as humble as Moses, or you might even be as perfect as Jesus, which you're probably not, but I'm trying to make a point here. You're still going to have opposition. Jesus was perfect. Did he have opposition? Well, I think they took him and hung him on a cross after they beat him and whipped him and stuck a crown of thorns and said, yeah, you're going to have opposition. Just stay focused on God, man. This is as bad as it gets. Just understand that. Come on, man. All right? And listen. Listen to what God says, not man. Because, listen, for some reason, man, this liberal media that we got, they believe that if they can just say something enough times, that it can become true. Right? And it can become popular opinion. It doesn't matter what popular opinion is. The only opinion that matters is what did God say about it. Amen? Oh, if we Christians could just get that down and stand on that. All right? So that is Korah's rebellion. So I want to show you the opposite of it real fast. All right? So under grace, under the new covenant, which you and I are under, if you know that, say amen.
Amen.
This priesthood no longer exists. Am I right? That whole system under the law has been not abolished, fulfilled by Jesus Christ, who has become your and my high priest. Remember, Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. Amen? So, Jesus paid the penalty for our sins on the cross of Calvary with his sacrifice. He was buried, right? And on the third day, he rose again from the grave, right? And today, he has re-entered heaven. Come on. And in doing that, listen, he has made a narrow road so that all who believe and put their trust in him have access to God. Come on, man. Oh, thank you, Lord, man. Thank you, Lord. He created that pathway. You know, the Bible talks about the wide road and the narrow road. Well, the wide road doesn't lead to heaven. Come on, where does it lead to? Destruction. But that narrow road leads to eternal life. Amen? So here's what I want you to know, man. Listen, God has opened the door for all of his children. All of us who believe and who trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen? God's ear is not open to my prayer any less than God's ear is open to your prayer. I don't have any privilege that you don't have. Amen? I don't have a special privilege before God that you don't have, and you don't have one that I don't have. We are all equal. And we all have the equal opportunity to come before the very throne of God. Amen? Why would you not use that? I don't know. I don't know, man. You remember when Jesus was on the cross? And something specific happened in the temple. Anybody remember? Jesus dying on the cross. He died on the cross. The temple veil is torn in two. That was God telling you and me, listen, listen, no more priesthood, no more mediators. Now you can come directly to the throne of God yourself because Jesus has become what? Our high priest. Ah, oh, what a beautiful picture. Come on. Who in here got, oh, ooh, chilled up. Woo-hoo. All right, I want to read something to you. Therefore, since we have a high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we were or we are, yet did not sin. Now, verse 16, here's the key, man. Listen. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may find mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. There is no more mediators, all right? In fact, what does 1 Timothy say? It says there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ. Yes. Amen. I want to close with this, because here's what I want you to know. Jesus is our high priest. But the Bible says you and I are priesthood as well. You get that, right? We are kings and we are priests, man. And sometimes we need to really see ourselves that way and start living by these things that God has given us and this power and this authority that God has given us. 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5. As you come to Him, the living stone, talking about Jesus, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Amen. Offering what kind of gifts? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What an honor. What an honor. What a privilege. And listen, we all have the same privilege, the same exact privileges to come before God. Man, take advantage of that. What did we see Moses do, man? Remember, these were written for us as examples for us and as warnings for us. And what we see here is when Moses faced a problem, the first thing he did, fell face down and got before the Lord. Amen? If you would, stand with me. You know, I think one of the greatest lessons that you can take here is, you know, sometimes your first cousin's not going to be very good. No, I'm just kidding. Is God really does not like whiners, man. He doesn't like complainers. Not that we haven't seen that before, man, but I hope that that touches your heart, man. Because here's the deal. And Kelby said this a few weeks ago. He said, Jesus is enough. Wherever you're at, whatever you have, whatever you don't have, Jesus is enough. Amen. He is. Paul said it great. I have learned to be content in any and every situation. That's a tough one right there. Right? To be happy and joyful and peaceful. Whatever situation you're in, whatever struggle, whatever circumstance, whatever you're going through in the situation, right? To have content. The only way he could have content was because he knew who was in control. Amen. And listen. That's how Moses could face down 2 million people, right? And simply do what? Carry out the Word of God. Man, what a great picture. I hope in some way the Lord has spoken to you this morning, amen? And that, you know, He has touched you. And we're going to open up this invitation time. And maybe you need to come and pray for yourself. Pray for your family member. Whatever you need to come pray for. Pray for the country, amen? If God puts it on your heart or has put it on your heart to come and pray, then come and pray. Amen? Father, we just come before You, and again, what a joy it is to be in Your house. And Lord, although this story may seem difficult, Lord, I'm inspired by this story. I'm inspired by Your authority and Your power and Your truth, Lord. And Lord, that You are holy and You are righteous, and Lord, You will be seen that way. Your word will be followed, or there will be consequences. Father, thank You so much that I am no longer under the law and that I'm under grace. It means a lot to me, Lord, that You would call me. You would redeem me. You would deliver me from my sins and give me salvation. Never let me take that for granted, Lord. And always let me know that I can come boldly and with confidence, right to Your very throne, because my high priest sits at your right hand, Lord, making intercession for me. Thank you, Lord, for the lessons you've taught us today about your nature and your character. And Lord, oh Lord, help us to be content and not to be grumblers. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.